and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. I'm Darren Hefty, soon to be joined here by my brother Brian. And we also have a special guest in our studio, Carolyn Thompson. And we brought Carolyn in because we're going to talk about estate planning. And, well, frankly, she's the person that I work with on my estate. So not that I have this monstrous estate yet, and not that I plan on going anywhere anytime soon, but you never know. And, you know, when we're involved in farming, you think about all things that go on. Wow, it's really important to do some planning in advance just in case something happens. So, Carolyn, thank you for joining us today. Really glad to have you here.
It's great to be here, Darren.
All right. You certainly get lots of questions every day about estate planning. I want to focus specifically on farming and agriculture today because it is a lot different than so many other things. I mean, if all I had was a 401k and some cash in the bank, that's pretty easy. We can divide that out by, you know, two kids or whatever, if that's what you decide to do. But when you have farm ground and equipment and livestock, it gets a little complicated, I'm sure.
It's very complicated. And 70% of our clients are agricultural. So I've been practicing 21 years. And the reason I went into law school was to help farmers because I grew up in Parkston, South Dakota. And
big town. For those of you not from South Dakota, you don't want to blink as you head through Parkston or you might miss it. Really nice town, just not really big.
That's right.
All right. So, you know, as you talk to farm families, I know the dynamics change a little bit because let's just take a traditional nuclear family. You've got dad and mom and they are doing the farming and they've got some kids. Some kids want to farm. Some kids have no interest in farming and want to pursue other interests, which is fine, too. But when you're in that situation, you're talking to mom and dad, and they've got, let's just say, the daughter and her husband are farming, and the son decided, I'm going to go be a dentist or something in town. How do you work through those things with them?
We do that every day, multiple times a day, because that is most of the clients that we serve. And I think everybody knows the slogan, equal isn't always fair, you know, that type of thing. And we always like to meet with the mom and dad alone, and we're very strict on that policy to really get at what are they hoping for and what are they afraid of. Because everybody has a horror story from a farming situation. They know somebody, families have been wrecked because they did poor estate planning. And I often liken that to, you know, you finally really make it in just, say, golf, and you're at the Masters, you know, because you've worked so many years, and then you walk off the course. That's what a lot of farmers do because they get stuck. They don't know what to do, so they don't do anything and say, ah, the kids can figure it out. So when people want to blame the kids for fighting over the land or the machinery or whatever it be, I always go back to say, who put the plan in place? Like, why would you not finish that chapter? And just like you shared, you're not planning to check out soon, but yet you're getting your affairs in order because you, and it's interesting, today's Valentine's Day. I often think of estate planning really is a function of how much do you love your family.
Well, and I look at this, Carolyn, I've got multiple kids, and the last thing I want when I leave this earth is that my kids are going to fight over stuff. You know, that just seems pretty counterproductive to me. And, you know, who better to settle those things than me to say, you know what, kids, this is what I decided to do. This is why I'm doing it. Now, granted, my kids are young enough that I'm not having this conversation yet. But you know, for a lot of farmers, if the average age of the farmer is 58, chances are they've got kids in their 20s, 30s. You know, those kids are adults now, and they're ready to have this conversation that, hey, here's what I want to do. You know, my daughter is farming. I really want the farmland to stay in place here, and here's a value I put on it, and here's why I want to keep that in the family. That's very, very important to me. You know, the rest is cash, and maybe I could even generate some more cash with insurance policies or something like that. I hear about that all the time. Is that something that a lot of farmers are putting into a plan?
A lot of the farmers we work with, the people that we serve are very intentional. Like, they value estate planning. They value their family. So they're not coming for a cookie cutter plan. And, you know, we don't often do the easy peasy plans, you know, and we really get into the heart of that. And I'm glad that you're using the female example, because now 1/3 of all of our farmers are women, and there's great organizations out there. And I think it's really important that we steward the land and that we have a healthy food supply. And so I think it's just an exciting time. You know, I know it's a tough time for farmers with the commodity prices. So a lot of times what we do, okay, my background is also I passed the CPA exam, so I'm a little bit anal about the numbers, and but it ties very well into estate planning. And so I'm often calculating what does this look like, because I never want somebody to come in and say, well, my parents had no idea she was getting 80% of the estate and I'm only getting 20%. So a lot of times, say 15 years ago when land was $500 to $1,500 an acre, the farming child could buy out the non-farming child, you know, if most of the debt was paid and there was pretty good equity. Well, then as we went through, you know, the 2012 time frame where land values were now quadrupling, it was not at all feasible. And then as I kept studying, because again, our focus at Thompson Law is agricultural estate planning, I'm like, how many times is a family going to rebuy the land? You know, I see that all the time. You know, you rent it from your father forever, and then when he dies, you get to buy it from your mom because that money has to be shared with your sisters, and then you do the exact same thing to your son. And I just thought, and then there are crunches, you know, financial crunches where you
can't. Yeah, you hope it doesn't happen during the 80s or something like that. Or, you know, the other thing is just what happens if dad passes away and I'm 25 and I'm just getting started. I don't have any equity yet versus okay. If I'm 55. Well, yeah, I can afford to do some things then and I can make different decisions.
And that's what I'd love for people to understand. I wish people understood that estate planning is not a one and done. You get those tractors and combines ready every year for each season. So you have to revisit your estate plan as time goes on.
Well, and things change, and you brought up the land values, and we'll probably get into that just a little bit more here in a minute, that, wow, land values changed a lot over the last 10 years, and it certainly brings everybody back to the drawing board of, ooh, I thought land is worth this. Now it's worth a lot more. That could change how we set things up. We'll talk about estate planning today on Ag PhD Radio. Stay tuned.
Why treat your entire field for white mold if only parts of it are affected? Contan soil fungicide sprayed this fall after harvest is the only proactive way to reduce white mold potential for future crops. Locating and spot treating your affected acres with Contans every year and every crop is an affordable and effective control strategy for white mold. Contans fungicide attacks and reduces the sclerotia bodies in the soil that cause the problem. Scout the symptoms and treat the problem this fall with Contans. To find out more, go to sipcamrotam.com.
With one finger, it's just point, touch, and go. That's the ease of the Rinke touchscreen control panel. Not only will you have full authority over your pivot's most important features, they can all be programmed with newfound ease. It's one more confident step towards making everything on your operation more efficient. To learn more, contact your local Rinke dealer or visit Rinke.com. That's Reinke.com today.
Ideal for herbicide applications, the ultra-low drifts large air-inducted droplets were designed to eliminate driftable fines without sacrificing coverage. Its thick three-dimensional pattern creates multiple angles for the spray to cover the target. Hypro, helping you spray better.
Interested in strip tillage? You should know about the Soil Warrior from ETS. With one-pass efficiency, optimized nutrient placement, and reduced production costs for higher profitability, the Soil Warrior brings the future to your farm. Visit SoilWarrior.com to learn more.
Are there nutrients trapped in your soil? Unlock them with Tag Team LCOXC Liquid Soybean, a biological seed treatment that can help improve nutrient access with three powerful technologies. A nitrogen-fixing rhizobia, the LCO molecule, and a microbe that releases bound phosphate. Together, they help unlock nutrients that support root and shoot growth. Learn more at MonsantoBioAg.com/unlock.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. Got a special show for you today. We're talking about estate planning, and it's one of those things that if you're listening to the show today and you say, wow, I should really have my spouse on listening to this show too, do it. You can sure podcast us. You can and can go grab them right now and listen to the show together. But I think that's one of the things when you get the family together and you start talking about what are the long-term goals here. Wow, you've got to do some planning ahead. Now, just before the break, we're talking with Carolyn Thompson. And Carolyn was talking about how do you not rebuy the land every time that, oh, well, dad dies, and now we've got to buy mom out and split money up between siblings. And then, you know, sometime we're going to have hopefully the next generation buy us out and so forth. It seems a little, I don't know, it doesn't seem like the right way to do things, Carolyn. So what kind of strategies are farmers using to avoid that?
About 12 years ago, I developed a trust called the Legacy Land Trust. So it was created through Thompson Law because I just started to realize everybody's recirculating the same money. And if you are so busy paying off your brother or your sister, and then your neighbor's land comes up for sale, you don't have the capital to be making both payments. And so for some people, the Legacy Land Trust works very well. It is an irrevocable trust that is not funded until after you pass away. So it's not a scary thing. It is really setting the framework of this land is staying together. And you had a great question about what if the farming heir is 25 or what if he's 55? There's certainly different abilities based on their work experience. And so that's why, again, it's important to revisit your estate plan every 3 to 5 years, or if there's a major health or change or wealth change. But within that, so sometimes we will build in that the farming heir has a right to rent the ground for the first 5 years at a very reduced cost so he can get his feet wet. And then after that, it could be a different index. There's a lot of different ways of going about it. And it really comes down to the parent saying, I remember how hard it was, and I don't want it to be that hard for my farming child. And the other thing I need people to remember, why there gets to be such a tug of war on land, is when somebody passes away, you get a step up in basis. So if you paid $500 an acre for the land, and when you pass away, it's worth $7,500, the heirs inherited at $7,500. So if you don't have a comprehensive plan to really define how that land is going to go forward, one heir alone can force what's called a partition and force the land to auction. And now, and I have, you know, seen it, heard it from people where they're going to auction to buy back, you know, part of what they were supposed to inherit. And so it's usually a very difficult family situation. And we are always trying to keep a family and a farm, a farm. Like most of our clients have worked extremely hard to get that land, to keep that land, to steward that land. So why wouldn't they finish this most important chapter of their life and build a comprehensive estate plan? And just really, I call it the playbook. This is how it's going to be rented. This is how it's going to be maintained. This is how they can exit. This is whether they can mortgage. I mean, we cover a myriad of issues. And we spend much more time planning what we call below the line after mom and dad have both passed away, because really, that's the beginning. It's not the end. When you die, it's not the end. It is the beginning for your next generation.
Okay, so one concern that a lot of farmers have is with estate taxes, inheritance taxes, depending on which state you're from, because you got to look at both the federal and the state level. So what kind of strategies do you use then to try to keep the farm all together? Yet if it's a big farm, you may have to worry about some of those types of taxes.
Absolutely. And it used to be a bigger concern for us, especially as land values were rising. And I think that caused a lot of people to kind of get in gear. But what I do like farmers to know is that whether or not you have an estate tax problem, you all have a distribution problem. You all have to figure out who's going to get what, how, and when. Mm-hmm. And again, we face that every day. So right now, a major gift that we got is the federal estate tax exemption went to $11.2 million per person. So a married couple could transfer $22.4 million. I would say I don't know that that law is going to hold forever, because the estate tax touches so few people. I mean, literally, I think the projections are 5,500 filings will be due in like next year. Only half of those will pay tax. It does bring in almost $20 billion of revenue. So it's still a pretty big tax. Mm-hmm. But so I think right now for our larger operators, we got a brilliant gift. And there are advanced strategies that we use, and we're in the process of doing them right now, have been doing them. I'm always waiting for land values to go down a little bit, which doesn't seem to happen that much in the last 10 years. But there's really some fabulous gifting opportunities. So we build the foundation plan how do they want it to pass? And, you know, how do we safely get it there? But then you start to pre-use that exemption. So that 11, or just say if it mm-hmm. was a single person, 11.2 million. How do I pre-use that and put it in a safe mechanism? So a lot of times I would create an irrevocable trust. Yep. So dad would create an irrevocable trust for son, just say. Mm-hmm. And then we'd either gift land in, or we would do a partial sale and part gift, because maybe dad sure. still needs cash flow. But the great thing about that is there are ways that you can squeeze down the value of the land. Valuation discounts are still viable. They kind of went under attack last year, but it's all still good right now. They were trying to make statutory changes that you couldn't get valuation discounts, but they didn't prevail on that. So that's good, but that's what we call like the squeeze and freeze method. So if we have a very large operation, we want to squeeze down the value, but I will always be about what is the exit strategy and how are we operating this? This has to function as a business. It can't just be all driven by tax. So we squeeze down the value and then we freeze it by selling it to this irrevocable trust. Yep. And then there's ways that you can make that transaction tax-free so that the dad in this case doesn't pay capital gains. It's mm-hmm. called a defective grantor trust. So I think, I don't know if you remember 2012 when the exemption was 5 million going down to 1 million. I never want to live that year again in my life. But I think we're going to see that again in the next 4 years.
Yeah, but the good thing about that is it forced a lot of people who are on the fence to say, uh-oh, I actually need to do something right now.
You are exactly right.
So didn't you see at that point a big escalation in the number of people that finally got down to actually signing the papers and making it happen?
We absolutely did.
Yeah.
And we took them through a lot of due diligence because a lot of the transactions you were making in 2012 were irrevocable.
Yep.
And we didn't want anybody having any regret. And then, of course, the law came back to the $5 million exemption.
Yeah.
And when you make a gift during life, if your basis in the land was $500, for example, that's what you paid for it, that's what your donee, your recipient, takes, mm-hmm. even though it is worth $7,500 an yep. acre. So, you know, there's trade-offs. But a lot of times there is the primary goal of keeping the land in the family. So they're workable trade-offs.
One of the things he talked about was pre-using that exemption. So how do you do that, even though the exemption seems to change every year with whatever the government passes?
It does. But like right now, it appears that they're not going to have a clawback. So again, I don't know if you remember 2012, there's all this uncertainty. We do mm-hmm. this and then you change the law and then you're going to bring it back. And
yep.
so the current legislation appears to not have a clawback. So if we make an irrevocable transfer utilizing the 11.2 million, and mostly you have to look at the whole size of the estate and mm-hmm. what are they wanting to secure. And one gentleman gave me this great insight. Like, I didn't think that he really needed to do a certain transaction, an irrevocable transaction for estate taxes. I really thought he was going to be okay long term. And he said, Carolyn, if this is what secures my farm for my children, I'm doing it.
Yep.
And it was such an eye opener to me. Like, this isn't all tax driven. This is, you know, it was security. It was confidence for him. And,
right.
you know, we co-built the plan with his children and all of that. So pre-using the tax exemption does require that you get appraisals of the land, mm-hmm. if that's what you're going to gift, which is usually a better use of the exemption. So when you're using your lifetime exemption, so you know you can give $15,000 away, just no strings attached. That's a freebie gift.
Each year,
mm-hmm. annual exclusion to anyone. And so that was up from $14,000 last year. But the 11.2, if you go, you know, above into higher mm-hmm. ranges, then you're going to have to file a gift tax return with adequate disclosure. So you really have to get good business valuations sure. or appraisals. But the one thing is, I caution farmers so much. I see people do what I call hot potato planning. I'm getting it off of my balance sheet and I'm putting it on yours.
Yeah.
And then I'll see all this wealth accumulation in in the younger generation. And so I use a lot of generation skipping transfer trusts, you know, more to guard.
Okay. Well, that's a great lead in for the next segment. We'll have to talk about generation skipping transfer trusts. And I had other questions on trust too. So we'll get to all that coming up right after this. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio.
Farmers value their independence. So does FMC. We understand the freedom to choose the best products for your fields is key to your operation's success. With the exclusive agronomic and economic incentives of the new FMC Freedom Pass program, you're free to choose your favorite seed and protect your crops all season long with proven FMC products. To learn more, visit fmcagus.com/FMC Freedom Pass or contact your authorized retailer today. Always read and follow label directions.
What makes Phytogen brand varieties flat out better in West Texas? We ask growers like Lance Williams how Phytogen is helping his cotton farm thrive.
We grow cotton in the Texas Panhandle for limited water use. It's a good fit for us with the rotation to corn and dry land. It's the best money-making crop we've got. Phytogen has allowed us to expand our cotton acres and grow because of new herbicide tolerances, and we are able to grow more cotton efficiently and effectively. Phytogen seed has taken us to the next level with fiber quality. We've seen loan values that we've never seen before with it, and our yields are good as well. Phytogen varieties have early season vigor like no other. They will come up in cool, wet soils and also have great storm tolerance in the fall. Bottom line, we make more money with Phytogen seed. That's how it's flat out better for us.
Lance Williams is thriving, and with Phytogen brand varieties, so can you. And now Enlist Duo Herbicide is registered for use on Phytogen cottonseed with the Enlist cotton trait. Visit Phytogen.com to find your local Phytogen representative and learn more.
Farming in the dark? We've flipped the switch on. More insights, more options for more farmers. Introducing Smart Insight daily satellite imagery, on-farm weather stations, crop modeling, scouting, alerts, available in more locations than ever before. Smart Insight, the only crop monitoring and digital agronomy solution with daily insights. Visit farmersedge.ca for details.
Looking to build your next farm structure, hobby building, garage, or even a home? No matter the building style, you'll want to partner with Morton to build it. With more than 110 years experience, Morton Buildings provides the experience and quality you need in your new structure. And now, build your Morton for less during Morton's annual sales event. Hurry! These promotional prices end February 28th. Check us out online at MortonBuildings.com to learn more. Morton Buildings. For work, for life, for generations.
AgriLiquid knows farming is tough, especially going into planting season. So many decisions and not enough time. Fertilizer is a big investment that's too important to risk. Make your crop nutrition strategy our problem. Make the most of your fertilizer dollar with AgriLiquid. You can count on AgriLiquid to provide the products, compatibility, and application flexibility you want and the research-proven results you need. Visit AgriLiquid.com to find a retail partner near you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. Darren Hefty, along with my brother Brian, and special guest Carolyn Thompson today, talking about estate planning. And Carolyn, you brought up something just before the break about, you know what, I'm grandpa and grandma, and I decide, wow, my sons and daughters are doing just fine. Maybe I need to pass that money down to grandkids and help them get started into the farm operation. How do you do that generation skipping kind of inheritance?
There's two different ways. You can actually truly skip your child and have assets go directly down to grandchildren. But what we see more often is we will create a trust. So grandma and grandpa have a living trust to avoid probate. And then when they pass away, they might pass certain assets to their child, in which their child might only get income rights, or they might have principal rights too, but it stays in a trust. It doesn't go outright to the child, because if it went outright to the child, then it's in the child's estate. Right. And then they'll pay tax again. So when we create the generation skipping trust, it doesn't mean that we have to completely cut out the child, but we do want to keep those assets off of the child's balance sheet. And again, it kind of all depends on the age. As kids get older, then their inheritance might get less because they're more successful. You do have to stay within a certain exemption. And again, we're blessed this year in that the GST exemption is matching our federal estate tax exemption of 11.2. This is the key to wealth transfer. This is absolutely the key to wealth transfer. I use it every day, multiple times. And some people mistakenly think, oh, well, if we don't have $10 million, we don't need to worry about that. when you're using GST planning, not only are you safeguarding that asset from estate taxes, because we know those laws are going to change, and we've seen the values of the land change so much, so we're safeguarded there. It can also protect against what if that child got divorced or the grandchild got divorced, safeguard those assets. So it is a lot of attorneys, you know, tend to shy away from it because I think they think it, you have to have a $50 million estate. You do not. You know, if you're going to, I had a case recently where my client was already taxable, you know, had a taxable estate, and his mom, we knew that she was leaving him $5 million worth of property. Well, she had a little will, and she always wanted to be smart. Well, the will left everything to the son outright. Well, I knew we were going to lose $2.5 million, bare minimum, when he died. And so she was agreeable. We did a living trust, and we did a what we call a GST trust. The son now has the full use of it, but it's not hitting his balance sheet, and he will be able to pass that on to his kids in the manner he wants without estate taxes.
So far, you've mentioned living trust, revocable trust, irrevocable trust, the grantor trust. There are a couple others. So first of all, why should somebody put something into any type of trust?
Generally, when we're doing the living trust or revocable trust, the point is to have privacy and to avoid the probate process. So you don't have to go through court and go through that process when
we pass.
Which
can be very expensive as well.
And revealing. You know, it's a public document, and some of the court systems are making it even easier that you can just go online and, you know, read the inventories. And so most people like to keep their business private. And if they understand it, if you're in a living trust or a revocable trust, and I try to use the word living because you're alive, it's growing, it's flexible.
So by living, you're talking revocable, same thing.
Correct. Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But because the word irrevocable, which means you can't change it,
yep,
is so close. I try to use living. But I like people to think of it, it's living, it's growing, it's changing. You have the right to change it. And why they would use that is, again, the desire for privacy, ease of administration. It still takes time. You still got to do the valuations, deal with the taxes, all that. But then it has a plan. It's the master plan of how you want your assets to flow.
Okay, and with the irrevocable trust, what's the big advantage to that?
The big advantage, and especially like people in Minnesota have a state inheritance tax.
Yep.
A lot of states do. South Dakota does not. Nebraska does. Basically, when it's in an irrevocable trust, it is free from inheritance or estate tax. So you're setting it up during life, and you are maybe using those free annual exclusion gifting of the $15,000, and you might be holding life insurance in that. And since you don't own it, it's owned by an irrevocable trust, they can't tax you on it. And that can be a great offset if you do have a different, you know, like a smaller family situation and you just want one beneficiary to get cash and maybe the other person to get the operations. If you know, there's a lot of great uses for it.
All right. On a completely different note, corporations, LLC, S-Corp, C-Corp versus sole proprietorship, and with the new tax laws, do you have any new pieces of advice, new pieces of wisdom for people when they're thinking about corporations now?
Things have changed a lot with this new tax bill. I'm still studying it. I actually have a continuing legal ed class tomorrow that I'm going to study it more. I will say it does relate more to the CPA, but so many operators, farming operators, don't do pre-planning, or they do their pre-planning in November, you know, which you really got to get in earlier in the year. The great thing is C-Corps kind of were a noose around our neck, you know, because back 30, 40 years ago, that used to be the vehicle to use. And then with the tax laws, it's very hard to get income out and especially to get land out of a C-Corp. Well, now they've flattened the tax rate down to 21%. So that is very helpful. And there's under the pass-through entities like the S-Corp and the LLCs, if you are below certain levels of income, they're going to let you not pay tax on 20% of the income.
Yep.
That's a below the line deduction. So I think it behooves everybody to get in front of a good CPA and to map out the course of where can they realign? Because you can segregate, you know, your machinery into one entity that leases it to your farm, your operating entity.
All right. This is great stuff. We've gone through a lot of different things here. Where should a farmer really start? What's the first step in this whole process?
You know, the first step, I think, is finding a qualified attorney. And mostly we hear people, you know, their neighbors told them to come in. They've seen us somewhere. But, I mean, you can Google search. But what I would look for if I was an operator is who does agricultural estate planning? Because it is different than our what I'd call our regular estate planning.
What makes it so different?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's kind of like Darren said at the beginning, if it was just cash, we would just divide it by four or, you know, however the plans want to do it. But typically our operators, 80% of the net worth is tied into the operations and we'll have one operator and two not. And so you have to figure out, what does this really mean? What does this family really want to achieve? And sometimes I'll see disastrous plans where they just gave all the land to the farming son. He died. His wife sold out. And the two other children got nothing. So you really got to go down the what ifs. And I think that's what we focus on a lot. So, and again, knowing even post-death, is the grain in the bin? Was it last year's? Was it this year's growing crop? There are so many technicalities on the agricultural side that we don't have on what I call the regular side.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Where can a farmer go to learn more information about all this?
Well, you could go to Thompson Law, cathompsonlaw.com, but there are websites that will direct you to estate planning attorneys. I'm part of the American Academy of Estate Planning Attorneys, an exclusive national organization that provides a lot of education. So, you know, and map out, we are in four states, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Minnesota, and soon to be Nebraska again. So, But I want you to go where you're comfortable. And I would ask the attorney, how much of your day do you spend in estate planning and how much of that is farmers? Because I'm telling you, I've done this for 21 years. 70% of my people are farmers. And there are always issues you have to really focus on, like deferred grain contracts. Mm-hmm. And if people are just not even aware of it, you kind of get what you pay for.
All right, we got about a minute left. Any last things that we didn't touch on today?
Make sure that what I find the hardest thing is making the phone call, getting the appointment scheduled. That's it. Some people think they have to have everything figured out and then they're going to tell the lawyer how they want it. That is not at all how it happens at our office. The people come in and they say, what are they hoping for? What are they afraid of? And then we guide them through the issues. We do not expect a client to have all the answers. We are counselors and this is what we do every day. So I think the hardest thing is simply making that phone call. And I would just implore people, when you think of the 100,000 hours that you put into your farming operation and you cannot find 10 to go visit with a qualified planner, estate planner, it's just a shame. It is a shame. Just make the call and start.
Well, you're absolutely right, Carolyn. There's just so much work that goes into getting a farm set up. And Brandon and I are fortunate enough to farm some of our great grandpa's land, you know, and to keep something like that going for multiple generations takes a lot of planning. Really thank Carolyn Thompson with cathompsonlaw.com for being here today. And we'll get right back with more Ag PhD Radio after this. Do you have your grain marketing plan ready for this year? Hi, I'm Darren Hefty. One of the most common questions we get at our winter workshops each year is, what should I do with my grain marketing? That's why we created Grain PhD, to give you the information and resources you need to be as successful in your grain marketing as you are in raising your crops. Plus, if you attend our Ag PhD workshops this winter, Grain PhD marketing specialists will be on hand to answer your questions and help create an effective marketing plan for you. Visit grainphd.com to learn how Grain PhD can help you with your grain marketing in 2018.
What's the quickest way to ruin a nice spring day? Seeing glyphosate-resistant weeds like Velvet Leaf and Morning Glory get past your defenses and show up in your fields. It's more than a nuisance, and it will cause yield loss if you don't take care of it soon. So how do you cover the gap between glyphosate and resistant weeds like Velvet Leaf and Morning Glory? With the fast-acting post-emergence broadleaf control of Resource Herbicide. Resource is the ideal partner for glyphosate because it adds speed to your post-herbicide application. Resource quickly takes down problem weeds that glyphosate misses, so you can start fighting back immediately. No matter what weed threat you're facing, the best solution is a diversified management program to cover the gap and stop resistant weeds. Valent USA Corporation has several fast-acting, broad-spectrum post-emergence control solutions, including Resource, Cobra Herbicide, and Select Max Herbicide with Inside Technology. Talk with your retailer today to find out which one is right for your field and visit valent.com/coverthegap for more information. Always read and follow label instructions.
Few products work with you as well as Impact Herbicide. It's the standard in corn safety, and Impact delivers the power you want and the results you need. That's why Impact is the only post-emergence partner in the Roundup Ready Plus Corn Incentive Program. It's the choice solution with Roundup WeatherMax or PowerMax Herbicide for outstanding control of the new super weeds, resistant species of water hemp, Palmer amaranth, Mayorsdale, Kochia, and so much more. Ask your AmVac sales rep about the herbicide that works with you and for you. Impact. Always read and follow label directions.
When it comes to your corn, you can't cut corners on weed control. But what if you could get a great foundational control and a great value? Now you can with Balance Flex pre-emergence herbicide and its new lower price. Balance Flex provides a flexible foundation that complements any herbicide program so yields are protected from the start. Talk with your Bayer retailer or visit balanceflex.us/save for a great value on early season weed control. Balance Flex from Bayer. Always read and follow label instructions.
Innovation is key to successful farming. Our innovative Thrive 3D application system saves you water, fuel, labor, and time. Get yours at no cost with FMC Freedom Pass. Simply commit to 3-year purchase minimums of Capture Thrive 3D insecticide and Anthemax herbicide to farm faster and with more freedom. Get more details at fmcagus.com/FMC Freedom Pass. Always read and follow label directions. Capture Thrive 3D insecticide is a restricted use pesticide. Anthemax herbicide and Capture Thrive 3D insecticide are not registered for sale or use in California.
Hey, everybody, come on in. The Ag PhD mailbag is about to begin.
All right, so we've got a lot of questions that have been coming into the Ag PhD mailbag here over the last, really, month, and we've had a very difficult time keeping up with those simply because we've been out doing all the Ag PhD workshops. It's a lot of fun. We love doing the workshops, and we've also gotten a lot of questions like this one that has come in from Joe today saying, hey guys, I've been to your soils clinic before, but I really want to come to the Advanced Soils Clinic, but I'm not going to be able to make it. Have you ever thought about recording the meetings so then I could watch them when it works? And could I get the books? Well, the whole thing is we eventually cover a lot of the material that you're going to hear in the Advanced Soils Clinics on Ag PhD TV, on Ag PhD Radio, but not all in that same format. And we also can be, let's put it this way, more unfiltered in those situations. And also we can show you some things from some of the high yield farmers around the country that we're not going to show on TV and we're not going to share on the radio just because they want stuff kept at least a little bit more confidential rather than just out in the general public. So anyway, no, we aren't going to be recording our Ag PhD workshops or broadcasting our Ag PhD workshops ever. We figure we do the television show every week. That's much better produced. When we are doing workshops, the sound isn't going to be right for TV. The lighting isn't going to be right for TV. It's not going to look great. And we want stuff when it's on TV or I mean, really anything that we're doing, anything on the internet, we want it to look great, to sound great, so you get the most out of it. And I'll say this too, when you're there watching a video, keep in mind, a lot of our workshops are 6 hours. So the odds are extremely high. When you're at home, you're not going to sit down for 6 hours straight. Well, when you're able to be immersed in it for 6 hours when you're at one of our workshops, your mind gets working on a whole different level. You get a lot more ideas. You also get the chance to interact with a lot of great farmers that are out there. Because just think about this. If you've been to a soils clinic and now you're ready to take the next step and come to one of the advanced soils clinics, and I will say too, it's not like the advanced is something that's going to be at a PhD level or anything like that. It's kept extremely simple. Even if you have never been to one of our soils clinics, you can come to the advanced soils clinic and you're going to get most of it. You'll absolutely find it very, very worthwhile. But just think about the type of people who come to those things. I mean, it's 6 hours of intensely going through soils things and fertility things and figuring out where to best invest your fertilizer dollars, how to increase yields, how to make more money on the farm. Not everybody's going to do that. And the people that choose to do that are the people that have the mentality that you're probably looking for somebody that you can share information with, somebody you can ask questions of, somebody you can learn from. So we find for a lot of farmers, yes, hopefully they're going to pick up some things from Darren and me there and get some ideas from Darren and me. But very often they're picking up some ideas, maybe just as many, from some of the other farmers that are there too. So it's really important, we feel, to take a portion of your time every year and go to events like ours. And I'm not saying just ours, but events like ours where it's educational. It's a day. We're serious about it. We're going to have some fun too and joke around a little bit and everything. But we're trying to help you improve things on your farm, not just for the short term, but for the long term.
All right, let's get to a question. This one's from Dakota. And Dakota said, I attended your soils clinic last week in southeast Iowa. You mentioned a way that you got seeds to emerge with less than ideal temperature conditions, but you didn't circle back to it and give us all the steps. What are you putting with the seed and in furrow to make this happen?
Okay, so I had mentioned that at the soils clinic, but that's one of the topics at our agronomy workshops. I really, really, really strongly encourage you, if you want to learn more about cropping and get ideas on cropping, come to all of our workshops that we do. So this year we had soils clinics. We've got advanced soils clinics coming up next week. We've got a new technologies clinic coming up next week. And we also had agronomy workshops. So they're all basically full day events. We had four different workshops, and there's so much more stuff we can talk about too. We're going to have some new things that we're going to be discussing next winter, some brand new workshops. So it'll be a lot of fun. But anyway, at the agronomy workshops, we spent a little bit of time on this saying, okay, we're really looking at about six things. First of all, look at your fertility in furrow. We want you to use a little bit of fertility in furrow, but it's got to be low salt. It's got to be a low rate, and we really like seeing that with water. If you're doing something like 10-30-4-0 at 5 gallons to the acre, the odds are pretty high you're hurting your germination rather than helping it. Next thing is insecticide in furrow, because when the seed sits there a long time, it's going to have more chance to have bugs on it. In addition to that, I'd take a look at fungicide in furrow. We've seen good results in cold soils with fungicide in furrow. Warm soils, we have not seen much. So if the soil's warmed up, I don't think I'd spend the money. But if the soil's cold, absolutely, fungicide and furrow is going to help. Then I look at, what are you doing on the seed? So we're using a couple of biological things. So NutriCycle has really panned out well. This will be year number four now on NutriCycle testing for us and starting to get it out with a lot of farmers. And doing more testing. That's really, really good. That's 24 different biologicals, I think. Quickrits has been outstanding for us over the years as a biological. And part of the thing, too, when you're doing these things, doing anything new, soil test before and after, tissue test every single week on side-by-side comparisons, treated and untreated, and do visual field evaluations, including root digs. We've done those things. We've seen why they pay, because we have more nutrients in the plant, and that's what we're after. And then the other thing is, like on corn, we've treated our corn also with Intego, and that has made a big difference. So there are your six things. I know that was a lot of stuff, but yes, there are absolutely things you can do, and you can plant into cold soils, and you can have great emergence.
All right. Next question comes from Alan, and he says, what's the difference between your soils clinics you were doing and this agronomy and soil clinic you're doing tomorrow in Arizona?
Okay, so tomorrow that's going to be basically the first part of our soils clinic where we talk about how to read a soil test, and then the rest of the time we're going to talk about some of the top agronomy things that have come up here over the course of the last year, especially like talking about dicamba, what went wrong, how to make that work without hurting your neighbor's crop, talking about programs you can run in corn, soybeans, wheat, and a few other crops too. We can take questions on many different crops. We'll have a bunch of things in our book so we can discuss whatever we need to at that point. But basically running through everything in terms of how to kill your weeds, your insects, your diseases, how to produce the best crop possible. So it's kind of a hybrid between our agronomy workshops and our soils clinics. And one of the reasons why we're doing that in Gilbert, Arizona is we find a lot of either retired farmers or farmers who are near retirement. And a lot of them now have kind of turned over the day-to-day things to their kids. And we want to give them just a general idea on things. And that's what a lot of those farmers have told us they're looking for, is they want a little bit more overview. And then they want their kids and their grandkids to come to some of our other clinics where we go more in-depth.
I got a question from Andy up in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Said, I attended your soils clinic in Granite Falls and found it very informative. Thought about a couple of things on the way home that I could have asked. We're using a regular soil probe to take samples. We pull them in the fall. Now, I've seen drill-type probes that you attach to a hammer drill, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are, if the samples would be accurate or not. We're looking at doing some grid sampling on our home farm. How often do you recommend doing the grids as far as how many acres?
First of all, it can be accurate, yes. What's the question on the grid?
How big a grid size? Most of our fields are 25 to 40 acres.
Yeah, it all depends on how variable the land is. So here's one of the things you can do. Go with really small grids to start with. 1 acre, 2.5 acre, maybe even you might call 5 acre grid small. Start there, then start putting the similar grids together. But the more variable your ground, the smaller the grid needs to be, or the smaller the zone needs to be. But whatever you do, just make sure you don't take composite tests. In other words, pull some cores around the field, blend them all together. That is not what you want.
All right, we'll get back into some Ag PhD mailbag questions right after this. Stay tuned.
Farming in the dark? We've flipped the switch on. More insights, more options for more farmers. Introducing Smart Insight daily satellite imagery, on-farm weather stations, crop modeling, scouting, alerts, available in more locations than ever before. Smart Insight, the only crop monitoring and digital agronomy solution with daily insights. Visit farmersedge.ca for details.
With Preaxor Xemium brand fungicide in your soybeans, it's hard to know which comes first, disease control or plant health. Preaxor fungicide is proven to deliver both with consistent performance, so your soybean crops get plant health benefits like growth efficiency and stress tolerance, plus longer-lasting disease protection, all contributing to maximum yield potential. Grow smart with BASF and Preaxor fungicide. Talk to your retailer today. BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions.
Commodity Classic is where America's best farmers come to get even better, and thousands of them will be headed to Anaheim, California, February 27th through March 1st to experience the latest innovation, education, and inspiration that are changing agriculture. And this year, Commodity Classic is on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, so you can tack on a weekend on either end, or both, for a little R&R. Enjoy some serious farmer time in Anaheim at the 2018 Commodity Classic, February 27th through March 1st. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Are you confident that your fertilizer program is the best use of your hard-earned dollar? The folks at AgriLiquid are committed to performance of their products and of your crops. Their unique ability to conveniently apply exactly what your crop needs to optimize your fertility program will not only produce the yield and quality you want, but can also save you valuable time and money. AgriLiquid, for the soil, for the plant, for the future. Find a dealer near you at agriliquid.com.
What if you couldn't hear 70% of this commercial? You'd miss a saying that would understand talking about, which frustrating, to say the least. The same thing can happen to the nitrogen in the soil, where up to 70% of nitrogen loss occurs. Instinct and NSERF maximize your nitrogen application, so your corn will give you the max in return. Get the whole story at maxinmaxout.com.
Are there nutrients trapped in your soil? Unlock them with Tag Team LCOXC Liquid Soybean, a biological seed treatment that can help improve nutrient access with three powerful technologies: a nitrogen-fixing rhizobia, the LCO molecule, and a microbe that releases bound phosphate. Together, they help unlock nutrients that support root and shoot growth. Learn more at MonsantoBioAg.com/unlock.
Back, you're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. Right in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag time, taking your questions. And our first one this segment comes from Nathan. He said, planning on attending one of your clinics yet this winter, and I remember you talked about taking extra coats that we may have. I've got a number of extra coats. Should I bring them along when I come to your clinic?
Yes, absolutely. We are doing a coat drive. So we started that back last year at our Ag PhD field day. It was, to me, a little bit unbelievable how many coats we got. It was awesome. But obviously, there are a lot of people in our country that need help. So if you've got some extra coats, we'd love to have them. I've got one here too, Darren, from Matt. He said, I see you guys have an advanced soils clinic coming up next week in Morton, Minnesota. I've been talking to some people that have attended these, and they say it'd be very good to attend, but you should probably go to the regular soils clinic first. Well, Matt, we don't have any more regular soils clinics coming up in Minnesota this year, but if you would like to come to the advanced soils clinic, that would be fine. I said it a little bit earlier on the show today, but let's put it this way. You'll still absolutely get a lot out of the advanced soils clinic. It's just we're not going to cover the basics like we do at the soils
clinic. Well, Brian, plus we'll have a good number of agronomists there to help with any questions. And if you needed a little bit of extra time, if you had a few extra questions, Matt, that is no problem. And I'm certain there would be somebody there that could help you. Yeah, thanks for the email, and hope to see you at one of these upcoming clinics. Speaking of that, Ken wrote, hey, I went to your soils clinic in Spencer, Iowa. It was wonderful. Thank you very much for it. I was wondering what app you use to develop your variable rate nitrogen, variable rate corn and soybean planting rates, et cetera, to farm your ground a little different. Well, thanks, Ken. Oh, I was looking at Brian. I was thinking, oh, Brian's gonna answer. Well, with the Ag PhD Soils app, you can do the variable rate fertility. And we talked a lot about variable rate lime and variable rate nutrient applications. You can certainly do that. You know, depending on what you have for systems that you're running your equipment with, there are quite a number of different ways you could develop variable rate planting rates. Do we really get into that much at our workshops, the planting rate differences that we're doing?
The planting, you mean variable populations? No. We've talked about it just a little bit. It's one of those things where if you've got a question on it, then we usually save that until our radio show at the end of most of our workshops. But in terms of variable rate planting populations, let's put it this way. It's going to vary every single year. It's going to vary a little bit by hybrid. It's absolutely going to vary based on your soil type. I shouldn't even say soil type. Based on your soil texture. So in other words, sand is absolutely different than clay. And then certainly on soil fertility. So there's a tremendous amount to that. So if you look at one person's evaluation on planting population, it really doesn't do you a whole lot of good on your farm, in my opinion. You've got to run your own tests.
All right, got an email from Pete, and he said, I was listening to your show the other day. You talked about a soil specialist from Missouri. I didn't catch his name. I was hoping that you could share that again.
Neil Kinsey.
Yep, and I know Brian referenced, Neil wrote a great book called Hands-On Agronomy, and I would take a look at that. It's Kinsey, K-I-N-S-E-Y. Thanks for the question. I got one from Tim, and Tim said, I wonder what your thoughts are on George Sims and his approach on soil health. He seems to be advocating that commercial fertilizers are killing the soil with their high salt content.
Yep. Well, he's wrong. So all the really, really, really high yield farmers in the country and around the world are using commercial fertilizer, and obviously they didn't kill their soil because they're getting three times the yield that many of us are. So that is wrong. I will say, though, that obviously, salt can hurt things, but you know what else hurts things is not having any nutrients. So what would you rather have? And sure, I'd love to find out some way how to do it without salt, but does manure have salt? Sure does. So do you have access to compost on all your ground for 300 bushel corn? I don't. Yeah, I wish I did, but I don't. So in lieu of that, I don't have any choice but to use something with salt. And it's not that bad. The dose always makes the poison. So it's just like in your own diet. You know, what do doctors say all the time? Well, don't overdo it on salt. Sure, you know, salt tastes great and a little bit's just fine for you. But if you overdo it, that's a problem. With commercial fertilizer, think about this. In 6 inches worth of soil, 6 inches deep worth of soil, you have 2 million pounds of soil. 2 million. How much salt are you actually throwing out there? You're throwing a few pounds out a year. A few pounds out in the middle of an ocean, does that make any difference? No.
All right. I got a question or kind of a comment question here from Guy, and he's in Hawaii. And he said, just wanted to share with you some of the things that are going on here. He said, one of the things is we find that with our heavy rainfall, as farmers are doing lots of tillage, we're seeing erosion issues. And some of the cropping practices have changed as sugar cane has gone away and farmers are looking for other crops to grow. I sent you a picture of a field in my area. One of the things I wanted you to know that I like from your show is you seem to be big believers in practices that will help the land for the long term and improve it. Hey, thanks a lot, Guy. Really appreciate it. I kind of paraphrased your email there. But yeah, that is something that we're always conscious of, that, you know what, even if it's rented ground, we want that ground to be highly productive for years and years to come. So we want to think about that with every decision we're making. All right, I got a comment here on one of our YouTube videos. If I'm using minimum tillage and not plowing anymore, I need to put on more nitrogen in soil because of tillage. Is that what you are saying when you talk about all the residue on top of the ground tying up N?
Oh, okay. So in other words, if you're doing tillage, is that going to release a little more nitrogen? Yeah, it's very likely that it probably will. So your choice is either you're going to have to put a little bit more on top, because I assume we're talking continuous corn here.
Yeah, and then wondering if that nitrogen will be, then wondering if that nitrogen that gets tied up by the residue will come back later.
Sure, absolutely. That eventually will come back to you. So most everybody, tillage or not, no tillage, when we talk continuous corn, we're usually talking, hey, we have so much residue to decompose out there. The bacteria in the short term are using that nitrogen. They're using your nitrogen that you thought was going to go to your crop. They're using that for food. So they take some of that. Well, if they're going to take some of it, you're going to have to throw more on so your crop has enough.
Kelly had a comment. We were talking about nozzles and having multi-nozzle bodies and turning those when we're going from, say, Roundup to a contact killer, that kind of thing. And he said, hey, every time I'm turning the nozzle body, the gasket keeps getting chewed up, and it's costing a lot of money for those rebuild kits. You know, we really haven't seen that. You're the first person that said that to me, Kelly, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I talked to a few people about that. Nobody's had that kind of issue. We run that stuff on our farm.
Certainly Kelly is, and I don't know what system you're running. We've been running with generally high-pro nozzles. We've been really happy with that system.
Hold up. But
I know there's a number of them out there.
Yeah, but most likely what's going on is he's got something that is damaging regular seals too, very possibly. So, I mean, I would just simply talk to your equipment company that you're working with and possibly even your crop protection retailer and say, hey, this is my problem. These are the products that I'm using. Give me something that is going to work well for these products so it doesn't break down. But yeah, we haven't had that problem.
I got one from Doug, and he said, I attended one of your soils clinics this winter, really enjoyed it, but I'm looking through my soil samples now, trying to figure out my own fertility needs, and I'm looking at the Ag PhD fertilizer removal app. Now, I'm wondering, do I just really focus on the grain removal numbers, as I do not plan to remove any stover from my fields?
Well, you have to look at two different things. Number one, you've got to have the total nutrients to raise that crop. So in other words, let's say your goal is 250 bushel corn, it's going to take a grand total of a certain amount of P and K. But 250 bushel corn, when the grain leaves the field and we have a column for grain, there's only going to be a portion of those nutrients that is going to leave the field. So as long as you have enough in the field to begin with to raise the crop, then in order to just simply maintain fertility levels going into your next crop, you just have to replace what you removed with that grain only removal rate or grain only loss rate.
Yeah, it does get a little confusing sometimes, and we just want to make sure we've got plenty of nutrients for our plant as it's growing throughout the season, because if we run short and we compromise the quality of our stalk or our shanks or whatever portion of that plant is holding up the grain can create some real problems. Really excited. Tomorrow we'll be in Gilbert, Arizona for a soils and agronomy clinic. Then next week we've got a couple of advanced soils clinics coming up. We also have a new technologies clinic coming up too. You can sign up for those online at agphd.com and find all the details there as well. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to tune in again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.